The scripture readings today are Habakkuk 1 verses 1 through 4 and Luke 17 verses 5 through 10. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteousness so that justice is perverted. Luke 17 verses 5 through 10. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. We ask God to bless these words to our hearts and our mind.
Well, the sermon title this morning comes from a conversation involving a four-year-old. This child was asking the minister where they go for work. And the minister said, well, I'm a minister and I help people. And it means I work at the church down the street, you know, the building with the big bell tower and the bell that rings. And the little girl thought for a moment and she said, oh, you work at the Jesus store. And I looked at her mother. And I thought, well, okay, there's a story here. Help me out. And she said, well, you know, every Sunday she sees lots of people going into that building. And so she asked me what it was. And I said, well, there were people going there hoping to find Jesus. And she thought for a minute. She said, oh, it's just like when I go to the supermarket with you and I ask for cookies. And you say, well, I hope we can find some. They're finding Jesus at the Jesus store. Let us pray. Lord, we invite you to our Jesus store today. The shoppers are present and ready to see what is in the aisles. Bless our work. Bless our shopping. Bless our continued searching and learning as we journey through our lives. Amen. You know, sometimes out of the mouths of small children come some of the most honest labels for things and statements about the things that we as adults kind of take for granted. So I was driving in, I was listening to NPR, and we had a woman who her job was to try and help people enjoy life and to get better centered with finding the good things in life. And she recounts the story of going to work. She said, we lived a short way off the campus. And so we walked through a park on the way to work, my three-year-old and I was going to drop him off at daycare, and I was going to go to a meeting, and I was thinking about the meeting, and I was thinking about what I had to do that day, and I was thinking about teaching. He was kind of trailing along behind me, but I knew he was okay, and he was skipping along like a three-year-old might skip along behind me. And pretty soon I heard, hey, Mom. Hey, Mom. And I turned around, and I said, come on, we don't have time to smell the roses. Let's go. And he said, no, literally, stop, Mom, coming back here. And that's exactly what he was doing. He had found a beautiful rose bush. He was smelling the roses. And she said, I realized at that point what a disconnect I had made in my life. From telling other people to enjoy their lives, to hustling the three-year-old through the park, and literally saying out loud, "We don't have time to smell the roses." And here he was with his nose in the roses. It was a moment, God-given moment, to be reminded of our priorities. Well, today, when Dawn read, we heard from the prophet Habakkuk. We don't hear from him very often in church. That's not a name we hear too often. But he was an important lesser prophet. And he's saying to God, "Hey, God, listen to my requests. Save my people from destruction and violence that surrounds them. And by the way, how long is it going to take you to do that? And if you have time, why are we waiting? Let's go." He writes it in Hebrew. This is written in Hebrew, and the term that is used is mishpat. And that's often interpreted to mean justice. But in true reality, that word is closer to judgment. Now, I always hope that there is some connection between judgment and justice. I'm hoping we're doing just judgment, not just judgment for the fun of doing judgment. But it does make a little difference when you hear it. So the law becomes slack and mishpat, or judgment, never comes forth. The wicked surround the righteous, or the ones in conversation, relationship with God. And therefore, mishpat, or judgment, comes forth perverted. So the law becomes slack, and judgment never comes forth. The wicked surround those in relationship with God, and therefore the judgment comes forth perverted, or not correct in providing justice. The lament that he's bringing forward is the decisions that are being made in the Hebrew society come forth, but they're perverted or twisted, that they're a mockery of justice, and that the connection between judgment and justice has been lost. Somebody has a comment. We'll have to sort that out. Habakkuk is stating that when God is quiet, when God does not immediately save us, that creates a lack of proper interpretation of the law and the fact that humankind all often take that decision and twist it and move it over into a realm of unfairness as opposed to the fair judgment it was supposed to be. And so Habakkuk says, "Okay, God, I have now stated my problem. I'll just stand here and wait." And he's pretty surprised, because just like that, God answers him. Now, we don't know how he received the answer. They don't tell us whether there were bushes burning or, you know, lightning, or, but we know that he received an answer. He received direction. And Habakkuk writes, "God answered me." And God tells Habakkuk to share the word that God's promise is still in force for God's people. God's word will come to pass, and the people will wait for it and be faithful in the meantime. The Reverend Carl Jacobson writes this about it. "And this is a life of faith, is it not? To live in the between of the complaint and the struggle and God's right time on the other side. It's where we live as a people of faith. Number one, active and alive in the world. Number two, struggling with injustice and against perverted judgments and slackening of God's law. And number three, waiting for God's promised time, for the promise that God makes, that God has answered us and will again, that God has saved us through Jesus Christ." And so the prophet ends this scripture this way: "Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, yet I rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer, and he makes me tread upon the heights. So even though life can be hard, and honestly, I can't understand or see a way from here to the promised land, Habakkuk says, I know God is with me, that God will carry me, that God has a plan for me. Habakkuk's faith in God and the journey of his life grows just a bit. Now, the writer of Luke reminds us that sometimes discipleship requires ordinary or daily practices of fidelity and service. Spectacular displays of your faith are not required, and they're not desired. Makes you feel better, I bet. I know you were all going to run down the street after church, weren't you? And grab everybody and have a spectacular display. No, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to just make slow and steady progress with those who surround us, those we are in relationship with. So the disciples are making this request of Jesus. Jesus, how do we get more faith? How do we make this bigger? How do we make it more spectacular? Jesus tells them the story of Habakkuk a little bit differently. He said, you don't need magnificent amounts of faith. Faith doesn't need to increase like magic. Faith is felt and it's lived through life's experiences. It comes with practice. In those challenging moments when faith is put to the test, you move forward with each step of compassion and mercy and justice, seeking the peacemaking model of Jesus in your actions. Through the moments of uncertainty and worry in your life, the moments of fear in your life, this is when you're on your way to the promised land. This is when you are treading the path created for you. Reverend Francisco Garcia shares a story to help us with our understanding. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. exemplified this when he described the fear that overcame him when he began receiving death threats during the Montgomery bus boycott in the mid-1950s. One night after a particularly troubling phone call, King found himself exasperated, unable to sleep, and ready to quit. While offering a humble and desperate prayer, King says that he felt the presence of God like never before and heard the words speaking to him in the depth of his soul, "Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for truth, and God will be by your side forever." And as King noted, the outer situation remained as volatile as it was before his prayer, but God had calmed his inner storms. You see, Luke tells us that faith happens in praxis. It's an ongoing process in us. It's a reflection and action that builds grace and increases as we increase our work in the vineyard. So I would suggest or recommend or ask you to consider, I don't know what works for you. I'm not very receptive to people telling me what to do. And I suspect we have a few people equally independent. So just take it as a suggestion. Have enough faith. Have enough faith for today. And then continue to live and to learn and to love and to show compassion, mercy, forgiveness and love to one another in relationship. That'll bring hope. That'll give you the confidence to step out in your faith. Because it's really pretty straightforward. That's all God's asking of us. He's asking us to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ and to walk humbly with your Lord. Amen.